Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, River, and
Dan.
I attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is bullying. We might define bullying as repeated and systematic harassment and attack on others. In schools, the most common forms are calling names, saying or writing nasty things, leaving people out, not talking to them, threatening, making them feel uncomfortable or scared, talking, taking or damaging their things, hitting or kicking, making them do things they don't want to. This kind of bullying begins in grammar school and peaks in middle school and is less common but certainly prevalent in high school. Recent studies say that 10 to 15% of children are regularly bullied. In the cyber age, bullies can use texting and cell phones as new venues for harassment. More boys than girls engage in these forms of harassment. Girls tend to use exclusion more than the threat of physical violence when they want to torment each other. Beyond school, bullying is common in the workplace, home, and sports. The feelings experienced by victims are painful and lasting. Bullies progress to serious antisocial behavior. Recent incidents of school violence show that bullying has tragic consequences for individuals, families, schools, and entire communities. Youth learn how to relate to others at home by interacting with their parents and siblings. Jealousy among siblings can result in bullying, as can parental frustrations being taken out on children. In school, there are more opportunities to develop meanness and an attitude of enjoyment in seeing others in distress or pain. We see it in our news, school massacres. We see it in our news, school massacres. The events at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay, or the many cases of domestic violence. We see it in our entertainment, like cartoons, Pulp Fiction, punk rock, and The Sopranos. We experience it in growing up. Name-calling, humiliating others, physical abuse, and social exclusion. One step to breaking the chain of bullying is to report the events. Unfortunately, we have all been trained that it is not good to tell on each other, and sometimes called ratting another out. Last week in Richmond, dozens of students watched a girl being gang-raped and failed to do anything about it. While that is a far cry from shoving someone in a hallway, the notion that people should just mind their own business is a real problem if we want to improve our so-called civilized ways. Peer counseling works by having students trained in recognizing problems, like bullying in the schools. If a peer counselor observes or hears about harassment, they will work with the students and possibly staff to remedy the situation. Most of us have seen TV or movies where a youngster reports being bullied by another child and the parents authorize him to to stand up for himself. Do you think that this is always good advice? Today we want to describe how bullying seems to be an expected part of growing up, even though we are told it is inappropriate behavior. And we want to discuss how we could confront and reduce the pain bullying causes, hopefully to start an end to the cycle. Today we want you, the listening audience, to consider the bullying you experienced as a youth, both as a recipient and a giver. We would like to hear if you think that children gain strength from painful experiences growing up. Many seem to think that this gives us character. It is good for the youth to toughen up so that they will... Is it good for the youth to toughen up so they develop personal strength? when you saw the pictures of laughing soldiers at Abu Ghraib, did you wonder if something had gone wrong with the American culture? Did you think, well, those soldiers toughened up and developed some character? Or do you believe our society would improve by confronting and stopping the cycle of humiliation and cruelty? And where would we start? We'll discuss this topic here in the studio for a while. Then we'll ask you to join in on the phone. We are at the Willett Studio, and our phone number will be 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion in about 20 minutes. Let's begin by talking about bullying and harassment in school. Dan, what forms of bullying have you seen in your years when you were at school, and do you think they were unavoidable?
Well, let's see. I got bullied as a boy, and I did some bullying. And now that I'm older and helping out today because we're short on crew today, I see it in schools. I don't see most of the time kids really pushing each other around, although I have seen it. And it's more psychological bullying. It's more humiliating each other and excluding each other and acting like somebody's just plain inferior. What kind of bullying do you see?
I see a lot of emotional bullying. There's not so much fights anymore. There was a couple of 2 years ago, but the people who that revolved around kind of graduated and moved on. Especially at a small school, there's not much because it's kind of like what's the point? The most people can do to harm each other at my school, at least, is emotionally hurt each other, which I see all the time. Especially in certain groups, you can always tell the group that has that one ringleader, and then all the other little people who think that person's awesome or whatever, and it's really sad.
Yeah, well, that's one of the myths about bullies, is that a lot of people think that bullies are rejected by their peers and have no friends. But I remember the kids that were the most bully-like being heroes to lots of other, what I thought of as losers. But, you know, bullies had a lot of power. And that's what they were exhibiting all the time, was power over somebody else. Which is a lot of what I think bullying is, you know, in grammar school, when you say you don't see much of it, I mean, you're talking about from a high school level, right? I mean, it seems like most of the bullying, it begins in grammar school and then peaks out about 6th to 8th grade, you know, where there's more competition and sexual development and stuff like that. So kids get more competitive with each other.
Yeah, that is definitely true. Because I remember when I was in middle school, I got picked on quite a bit by one person in particular, but he stopped at high school, and then because I stood up for myself a little bit, but it's definitely, I see it with my little brother, actually. I was just realizing, I see it with my little brother. There's always kind of the big macho guy who's kind of like the little man of the class or whatever you want to call it, and then there's everybody else who's following him around because they think he's awesome or whatever, and he makes them feel powerful or whatever.
So. Yeah, and I mean, we were talking before about how that kind of leads people into gangs. You know, I mean, bullying is one of the situations that makes people want to have other people backing them up. When I was a kid, one time I was getting bullied by another kid that was a little bit older than me, and I had an older brother, and I told my older brother about it, and so he went and threatened the kid because he was a year older than that kid, and back then, you know, when you're in the fourth grade, a year older makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And so that kid stopped hassling me, and because he thought my brother was going to do something to him. And with gangs, then you have this whole team that, you know, if anybody messes with you, that they're going to back you up.
And some people just join automatically, you know, just kind of like go into there because they don't even want to start to be bullied. And it's this whole, as you were saying, whole protection thing. And also, it gives a bunch of people a very strong sense of like power, you know. It definitely adds, each member who goes into there somehow that adds a little more structure or something to the base, and eventually this huge base is grown of really tight knit people, or people who think they're tight knit even though they may not be, and it's really scary for the rest of the outside lookers. And Laytonville doesn't really have too many gangs right now, but I hear that a growing gang population is intruding into Laytonville and Mendocino County, and that's just terrifying to me.
Yeah, well, it's definitely kicked up in Ukiah and Willits, and I don't know about the coast, probably Fort Bragg, but it's terrifying, and yet it's understandable why people, you know how we were talking about the movies and everything, so everybody sees young people in sort of heroic situations where, because they're in a gang, they're have all this power, they're more cool than anybody else. And so, you know, it really, and it's the whole attire thing, you know, it's like what you're wearing signifies so much in our culture. You know, it shows your social class, and in the case of gangs, it can show that you're, you know, a gang kind of guy, you got your hat on sideways and your underpants are showing and, you know, stuff like that. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's like bullies, I know for sure, they make fun of people. They demean people. They push themselves up by pushing others down. And maybe that has to do with home life, what happened before, or what they've been brought up to believe, that they have to be tough, that they have to be at the top to be able to survive in a world growing up in fear and suspicion. And it's just really sad because you see more and more growing up that way, and more people who have to prove themselves in some way or another. And there's certain ways to prove that you're a man or something like that, but being a bully is not one of those. It's not okay. And you hurt people. The people that you hurt end up being more retracted. And you think that maybe eventually the people who are being abused and stuff like that will stand up for themselves. And sometimes they do, but sometimes that ends up being like Columbine or other.
That guy at Virginia Tech, yeah, who had supposedly been really, the Asian American had been really bullied as a kid, and that was, I guess, part of the video he made about why he was going to kill all these people he didn't even know. It was just to kind of get even for the pain that he suffered as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of those people are severely depressed, really, really become reclusive.
Withdrawn, yeah. And yeah, depressed. And a lot of, there's studies have been done recently about kids that were bullied a lot, and they found that a lot of them are really socially withdrawn, and a lot of them suffer serious depression. I mean, it isn't like bullying's a new thing. I mean, in the 50s, when I was a kid, there was, bullying was way big. We had, you know, we were talking about how you see these TV shows and movies where the kid comes home and says, oh, I've been bullied, and mom and dad take him into the kitchen and they say, well, the thing to do is to go back and, you know, stand up for yourself. And in my generation, it was Leave It to Beaver is where we got that important social information. And there's, you know, newer shows, and it's the same thing. But I always wondered, you know, how many kids that go back to the bully and get really beat up because, you know, they're going to stand. Beaver didn't, you know, Beaver somehow or other got away with it.
Yeah, it's the way that you stand up to people, and it's the way that it's your judgment of character as well. Because if there's a really, really testosterone-y, big macho guy, and you come up and you're like, don't say that about me. He's just gonna like shove you down if you're a stringy guy. But if it's somebody who's doing it just to be a jerk, and you can kind of tell that they're also a little insecure about themselves, if you come up and push back a little bit, that's okay. That's mm-hmm. okay. But it's all has to do with judgment of character. I certainly wouldn't go up to a huge guy. I just avoid the guy. So,
well, the one time as a kid that I got beat up the worst was by a kid that was about a foot shorter than me. So you can't really base it on on size. This one kid had knew how to box, and I didn't. And anyway, so there's do you think that kids, if they are being bullied, that it's important that they talk to somebody about it? Like when you were being bullied, who did you talk to about it?
Oh, I came home and talked to my mom. I talked to my mom a lot, and yes, it is important to talk to people about it. Don't keep it inside. Sorry. if you pen it all up, I mean, even if you go home and like have a punching bag or something, like that always helps. As long as you don't get yourself in too much trouble, it's better to have a punching bag than punch a person than get slammed yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. But I think that the reason that a lot of people don't report bullying, and including some teachers, don't report bullying that they see in the school is because they really believe that it builds character, which, you know, you could make an argument that it does toughen you up. But then how tough do we want everybody to be? I mean, tough enough, but, you know, at what point? I mean, because there's this fear that you'll turn kids into wimps. Yeah. Boys into wimps if they don't stand up for themselves.
Well, if somebody's like me, if somebody isn't tough enough to kind of like go up and talk to that person or stand up for themselves, they need to toughen up a little bit. But it's not like I lost my train of thought.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Well, there's, that notion that being a victim builds character is, I think that that's a bad concept. And sometimes the idea that just let the kids work it out. I mean, there's some truth to that. And then there's some non-truth. And I think that maybe some of the kids that by the eighth grade spend all their time with little electronic games, you know, handheld games and stuff, that something has driven them into wanting to be in that world rather than in the regular social world, and that bullying might have been part of that.
Yeah, if you tell somebody to toughen up and they keep on getting picked on and they keep on getting picked on and they just keep on retracting further and further and further into themselves, then you definitely need to step in and do something about it. But if it seems like they're going to figure it out by themselves, eventually, or like like get to that point where they're able to stand up to themselves, then you can step back and wait for the results. But it's if it keeps on continuing, and if nobody's doing anything about it, and if that person's not really able to stick up for themselves the way that they need to be able to.
And I think it's important that sometimes the bullying is caused. I mean, kids tend to make fun of each other, or at least boys tend to make fun of each other from age 9 until 47. I don't know, 9 until 15, just because of anything about a person, you know, the size of their nose or their ears, or it could be the color of their skin or their genetic background, you know, if they're a Native American or if they're Mexican origin or if they're gay. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one of the things that in doing research for this show was that a lot of the bullying is about being gay. So how often do you hear somebody say at high school, oh, that's gay?
Oh, a lot. All the time.
All the time.
All the time. Well, and it's those people that you look at and you're like, he's immature. That's from an outside look in on that. You just look at those people and just kind of scoff because it's so stupid what they're saying. But it does happen a lot. And I think there's only one person in our school who's kind of being questioned about the sexuality and stuff like that. And he actually gets picked on quite a bit. And it's not right. It's not cool at all. And, and you can totally tell that sometimes he takes it personally, but I think eventually they build up this wall against people like that.
Well, I just wonder, you know, how many kids, if being gay wasn't something that was so ridiculed, if there wouldn't be more overtly gay kids in high school. And I wonder if, like, in the high schools in Mendocino County, there's always only, you know, either none or one or two gay kids in the school that anybody knows about. But I'd have to say that based on the percentage of people in their 20s that are gay now, there must be more kids in high school that are really gay. And so every time somebody says, oh, that's gay, then that is kind of a harassment. They would feel it as a harassment.
Yeah. Those people, I don't know. You can't really tell. You can never really tell what somebody's going to turn out to be like. And just by saying that, I know in our school, actually, we have a few teachers who get really offended, and which is good. They get really, really offended by it, and they issue out detentions. So it's starting to cool down a little bit.
You mean if somebody says that's
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, that's they're like, I have lots of friends who are gay, so you don't even know what you're talking about. Don't go there, which is true. I have a few gay friends, and they're just normal people. And by saying that's gay or something, you're indicating that you're somehow better than the person who is homosexual or heterosexual. Homosexual. But it's totally not right. And I think what's so brought out in that is based off of a culture that kind of enforces, religion enforces that gays are bad, and then somehow that gets translated into this whole different network of we should reject gays. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's... I mean, I know growing up that to be called gay, and that would be one of those things that would be in a public situation. I mean, and homosexuality was what much more under the cover, hidden when I was a kid, way more than it is now. And one of the ultimate, you know, fighting points, or, you know, call to, you know, the slap in the face, the gauntlet thing, was to call somebody gay in, you know, in front of other guys, you know, to that would be like the most surefire trigger to get somebody fighting.
That's weird because you don't really hear that now. It's just basically like you're gay or whatever. It's just like it's one of the minor ones. It's one of the just kind of sometimes friends what friends say to each other or something like that. Just like I don't know. It's kind of a minor background thing. But it's still really offensive to a lot of people.
Right. You know, and one thing I got to say about bullying that I remember is that one of the kids that was one of the biggest bullies when I was growing up became a cop. And I'm not saying that people should have a bad attitude about cops, but I do know that this one guy who personally bullied me as a kid went on to a career in it. You know, and you know, it's this power thing, you know. It's like some people like to have power over other people. And one way that, you know, career opportunity for bullies, and it's not, I'm not in any way saying that all cops are that way at all. The most of the police I've ever met have been actually really cool people just trying to keep civil order. But it there are some that do join in the because of that, that's their motivation, is because then they have protection to push people around.
Yeah, that's, it's this whole big power trip thing. Bullying is all about that, and it's scary when somebody in official power can get that power and get to that point where they can bully people without having any consequences towards it. I've heard about it a lot, well, some in the news, but the thing is about that, if you hear about it in the news, they like, some news corporations like publicizing things that will make the world seem like a darker and grimmer and hopeless place, so I don't really think police officers are all bad, like a lot of people think. So I don't know, but it is scary once somebody gets on a power trip from an early age, then they just keep on, and that's always something to consider.
Well, in the adult world, bullying happens too at work and stuff. I mean, if you're working in a situation where there's 100 people working and there's a very specific hierarchy of this person's the boss and this is the manager and this is the divisional manager, and you know, you're down at the, whether you run the cash register or stock the shelves, or you're the guy that does the oil changes, not the guy that does the serious car repair, whatever. I see bullying, my experience in my work career, bullying from people at work, you know, people that had some power over me. And I would call it power tripping, you know, and I've definitely experienced that in nonprofit organizations as well, you know, that people do power trip other people because kind of the payoff in some nonprofits is the power you wield.
Yeah, I was working at a camp, and there was this one guy in particular. He was just totally power tripping everyone that was below him, quote unquote. And you saw him, and he would just give you this look like you're scum, and it made me so angry because he was only like 1 year older than me. And he was adult staff, and I was teen staff. And there's apparently a huge difference there, that once you're in a greater power, that it's so much easier just to look down on the people that work in a lower situation than somebody. And it's ridiculous. It makes me so angry.
Yeah, I was seeing this thing that said, both River and I have colds today, so sorry. 8% of students miss one day of class per month for fear of bullies. So that's one out of 12 kids stay home from school every month because they're afraid of getting bullied. And 43% fear harassment in the bathroom at school. And those are kind of serious statistics. And another one was that of 500 students in a Midwest middle school, 80% of the students had engaged in bullying behaviors during the previous 30 days.
Wow.
It was really, really common when I was a kid, you know, and I know that for a lot of people, they'd say, well, yeah, it's just part of growing up, you know, it's part of competition and working your way up. But what do you think that if a parent suspected that their child was being a bully, mm-hmm. If a parent suspected that their child was bullying other kids, what do you think that they should do about that?
I'm not sure. I mean, like, it all depends on the situation. Maybe if it was steady throughout a year, maybe the parent should investigate a little bit more in, or just give the best advice you can, and if that doesn't seem to be working, ask around to see what other people have done to stop their kid from being bullied. Just ask the right people would be my suggestion, because some parents might have that kid who's bullying other people. So
every bully's got some parents somewhere. The other thing I was going to ask you is, as a peer counselor, which you are, mm-hmm. what do you guys do about bullying? I mean, I know that you work in the grammar schools, right? Don't you have a buddy in the grammar school or something?
Yeah, we do our best to prevent it from even happening in the first place. We go behind it and see what's happening behind the scenes and why the kid is acting like he's acting. So, and then try to fix that.
Well, so what kind of things do you find that's going on behind the scenes?
I find, like, the person's had a messed up background, a divorced parents or something, mm-hmm. and
that's pretty common. I mean, it's like
just had a really tough life, or mm-hmm. always being poor or something. A lot of bullies are really into guns. I see that a lot. So it's just, I don't know. It's really sad, because a lot of the bullies have been bullied at home, and it's just been passed down.
Well, so do you think that they're bullied by their parents or their stepfather or their siblings? Yeah. And
by all sorts of people. And even if it was started, even if it was just in elementary school or something that they were bullied, but a lot of times it does come from homes, I think. And a lot of times the parents, even if they're unknowingly doing it, even if it's just like mom and dad are arguing in the kitchen all the time or something, and I just happen to hear, they take that out on people at school. So,
right.
Yeah. We are going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we would especially like to encourage youth, their parents, and concerned friends in listening audience. Please call, and if you have questions or insights about bullying, humiliation, and American culture, if you are a student, how often do you get picked on or treated with no respect by your peers? Do teachers ever humiliate students? If you are older, do you remember bullying in your school years? Did it make you a better person? How does bullying in school evolve into the adult world? Ever been bullied while putting in your volunteer hours at a nonprofit organization or at work? Do you think our society needs to rethink our acceptance of meanness and bullying in the schools? Or are humans just born cruel and there's nothing we can do? If you have or had children in school, did they suffer from other students being cruel? The phone number, again, is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
Yeah, it would be great to hear some experiences from youth, from parents, and from people in general. I mean, we all got to go to grammar school and middle school and high school, and so we've all had some kind of experiences of bullying, I think. And I think that even though it is something that's gone on forever, it's something that, and I'm not the only one thinking this, that believe that it is something that should be confronted and at least, you know, reduced where possible, if not an attempt to eliminate it, because it really holds a lot of people back.
Yeah, and I mean, like, parents, if you want to call in and just tell us something that's worked, because honestly, I don't know anything that's worked in my past situations or anything like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, or is it? Or do you just all believe that it's an inevitable thing that people have cruel streaks within them, and they want to power trip other people? So, yeah. Join the ward. It's 456-9991, and we're not asking for money. We're asking for your insights and opinions.
Call, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'm enjoying the show, and I missed the beginning, and I was wondering if you think it's more of a boy thing than a girl thing, because I don't remember too much bullying, although I remember sort of more manipulation with girls.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a boy thing than a girl thing. There's so much testosterone going around, and there is, though, I hear a lot of girl bullying in the way that, as you said, there's a manipulation and everything.
Yeah, and sort of cliques and, not being picked and stuff like that is more of a way girls do it, or making fun of each other, kind of, but it's not as obvious, I don't think, except in some girls, maybe.
Yeah, I think with guys, sort of, we can get bullied and then blow it off really fast. Kind of like one day be really angry at somebody and then one day stop. Correct me if I'm wrong, but with girls it seems to be a little more long lasting than that. They seem to really form cliques and kind of size each other up, and you can tell when somebody doesn't like one person, and it's always gonna stay that way.
Yeah, I think you're right. They have girls do seem to hold a grudge longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thanks so much.
Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Right, so you can join in the conversation at 456-9991. Give us a call. Tell us what you think.
Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you. I wanted to start by thanking you for the show and share my observations. I graduated from school about 20 years ago and attended my 10-year and my 20-year reunion. And I progressively have seen at those reunions that people are more comfortable in their own skin. They're not seeking other people's approval, and people aren't trying to influence one another. And it's really a beautiful thing, and I would like to envision what our youth could be like if they were freed from wanting the approval of others or being bullied in school. It's a shame that sometimes it takes us 10 or 20 years to get to that point. But I've also experienced bullying in a nonprofit and in a corporate setting. And my observation is that bullying is so pervasive in our culture because we allow it to persist. I think often we see the bullies as acting like infants or a two-year-old toddler who's having a tantrum, and if you would just ignore them, they'll go away. I think that's actually the wrong course. By ignoring them, then we set up precedent that this is part of our culture. And it's in our schools, it's in our office environment, and it's even a part of our government that we bully other nations. So I would make a call to do reverse bullying, and if we all stood up and made sure that people realized that that behavior was unacceptable, then maybe we could have a cultural shift.
And how do you think that in grammar school, that in a practical sense, that could be taken on to reverse that?
I think, maybe it's part of the curriculum. We taught in the past respect for teachers, respect for elders, respect for parents. And it starts with respect for others, regardless of age.
I totally agree. I mean, I actually had to look up chivalry the other day because I was really interested, and I was like, okay, I want to be courteous and be nice to girls and be nice to people in general. And I think there should be a class on etiquette. That would be wonderful. Just somehow be taught to be a gentleman instead of being taught to have to survive by whatever means. So, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And I think it's a matter of lead by example. You made a comment earlier that even teachers resort to humiliation and bullying. And when students see a teacher exhibiting that behavior, then it's a license to repeat the behavior. So it's got to start leading by example with the teachers, the parents, the community. And, of course, you won't have 100% participation at any time. But if we start a shift of not ignoring that type of behavior and just making it really clear it's unacceptable, then, you know, through time, I think we'll see more acceptance of people.
Absolutely. That was great.
Anyway, thank you for your show. I enjoyed every month.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. We had another caller coming in, but they dropped off. So give us a call again at 456-9991. Well, I think that Challenge Day, that's an annual event now, that was one of the big points at last year's Challenge Day.
They're not going to do that this year, actually.
Seriously?
Yeah. Whole reason is because it kind of wears off really fast. There's only a few people who it really sticks with. And, I mean, even those few people, it's really good for. But it's dropped off because after the first few days, it loses meaning. It's really kind of sad.
Because I remember one of the things that specifically people were getting up and apologizing to each other for having bullied each other this one guy had bullied several people for many years, and he got up and apologized to a couple other people and said he was going to try and not do it again. But I agree that in that it's this special day. It's like going to the, I don't know, Disneyland or something, and for a day everybody's going to be nice and do these things. But, wow, that's too bad. I know it's an expensive project for the schools to take on. So, again, we're still open for your phone calls at 456-9991. We'd really like to hear, when you saw those pictures from Abu Ghraib and things like that, what did you think about that? What did you think about bullying when it gets onto a professional, international level like that? I mean, it seems to me that somehow or other that's what evolves out of this not worrying about aggressive behavior that involves an imbalance of power, strength.
Do you think humans have been kind of forced into being insensitive about this type of thing, especially with the new apathy and growing culture about anything, really. Actually, the percent of high school shootings and high school murders is higher in the United States than pretty much any other country.
I believe that's true, yeah.
I have a feeling it's because of the growing culture and because of everybody being so apathetic about everything. So,
well, I think a lot of that apathy actually comes from fear. I mean, that was the justification for the whole thing, because I know that sometimes I would, listen to right-wing radio, and I'd hear people talking about how, well, what are people complaining about it? You know, people getting tortured at Abu Ghraib. You know, 3,000 people died in the Twin Towers, they'd say, you know, as if that gave a blanket excuse for whatever. But I think of some of the movies that I've seen in the last 15 years, from Natural Born Killers, Pulp Fiction, I can't remember, Kill Bill.
Fight Club.
Yeah, yeah, well, now Fight Club actually had a really interesting point to it. But the other ones where we're so used to seeing torture as if, well, yeah, that's to be expected. Sure, that's, you know,
yeah,
get guys together and, you know, somebody's going to get tortured. I mean, you know, but I think that the reason that we could look at those pictures from Abu Ghraib and not, or some people could, and not freak out was, you know, fear. You know, you put fear into a culture and say, well, this is how we have to do things. Or you see pictures from the G20 demonstrations in Pittsburgh, and you see the police force in this incredible these outfits of self-protection and aggression. And somehow or other, I think that if you could get those photographs, find the time machine and jump back to 1960 and say, hey, this is what it's going to look like in 2009, I think people would think that's science fiction.
Well, also, I think it has to do with the media. I think media is definitely media is very much being censored. And the more people see it, the more they would be opposed to it. But since it's shown over every once in a while, it's considered the exception, not the norm. So just thinking, oh, it'll be this one time. It's not that one time. It's happening every day. And I know some people have gone over to Mexico where it's not censored, and they've seen horrible pictures of what's happening over there, and they've been seeing the truth, which has been being withheld. I thought that was very interesting. But again, our number is 456-9991. We would love to hear your questions or comments. And yeah.
Yeah. Or are we being wimps by worrying about bullying in the schools? And is that something that we should just, you know, is that just, you know, part of growing up? You know, it's part of the toughening up process. And if you don't get toughened up enough, then you'll fall over, or you'll be a wimp, or, you know, you won't be as, you won't be fully developed unless you've had this struggle. And I'm not saying that totally, you know, and like I don't understand that there is a small amount of truth to it, at least.
But it shouldn't be ruled by everything, you know. It shouldn't.
No, I don't think so. But, I mean, I think that part of society, part of the culture is to try and evolve. And, you know, we call ourselves civilized, and we talk about humane treatment, and we have a lot of things to work on, and maybe in this culture we have the luxury of working on it right now.
I think, though, seeing how things are going, we're becoming less humane and less civilized. Again, I bring up chivalry. It's dead. There's really not much going on to save all these things that should be valued, should be cared for. And by bullying people and letting that go through and not doing a lot about it. We're just becoming less human, or less what we would like to call human.
Yes, that's the key there, is less of what we would like to call human. I mean, because when we say humane, we're acting like, oh, well, we're above all the other animals, you know, we're conscious of what we do, and we pay attention to our emotional state, you know, we want to improve our emotional state. What do you know about cyberbullying?
I don't know too much, but I've heard it's growing pretty fast, and like I know one person who kept on getting called up in the middle of the night, and she got really sick of it, and she called the person back, told him to stop, and just kept on. I'm not sure exactly how that got resolved, but cyberbullying with this growing virtual community, I think it's definitely going to become quite prominent. It's a lot easier to bully online. You're not really talking to somebody, you're talking to your computer, and you can say whatever you want, and that won't affect you the same way it would if you were talking straight to their face.
So. Right. And I mean, okay, so what we were actually talking about here mainly is texting. That kids text threats to each other. And the texting, if you're my age, you might wonder what texting is all about. Well, you know, you can have a cell phone, and most of them now are equipped with text messaging. And so you can just send a quick little note to somebody else. Well, you could send it to the kid, you know, if you're a kid, you could send it to another kid that you want to intimidate for the day. And or you could take a picture of somebody doing something embarrassing, and you could post that.
Or threaten to post it if they don't do what you want them to.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's really scary. And I know I personally have said like really horrible things over texting and stuff, and when I send it, I'm like, what just happened? Did I just, I didn't just send that, did I? But I don't know, it's going to be a lot easier to do that, and you can forward, I know like the day Mr. Obama was inaugurated, that a bunch of my friends got a text saying I'm gonna go kill Obama and stuff like that. But that obviously didn't happen, but it's just,
no, it's a lot of threats though, but still
it's scary.
Yeah, well, there's this one group called Sweet 101 that works on, you know, trying to improve the culture, and they have facts about bullying prevention, and they say most bullying cases go unnoticed and unreported by parents and schools because the victims rarely tell anyone until the bullying reaches a point of extreme physical or emotional pain. When bullying reaches the breaking point for victims, the results can be disastrous, as we have seen in junior highs and high schools across the country. When bullies find their way into a victim's life on the phone or in person, their abusive actions need to stop. If you hear about bullying at your school, stop by the front office and report it to the principal or the school counselor. And I think it's worth considering, you know, to check out your own local schools and see how bullying is treated at your school, you know, the community that you live in. And, I mean, this thing in Richmond is really disturbing, in that dozens, maybe scores of kids came by and watched this girl being gang raped and watched for a while and then moved on. And when the cops came to find out what had happened, everybody acted like, oh, I don't know, I didn't see anything.
My understanding was the police weren't even called. Nobody went and called the police,
right,
which is amazing. That's horrific.
Yeah,
I mean, you won't even go and call somebody on the cell phone to report somebody being raped.
I assume that they were afraid that the perpetrators would come back at them.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, even if you went and called in the bathroom, though, I mean,
yeah, right.
I can understand that they're afraid that the gangs would go after them or something, but it's absolutely mental that they would not notify some sort of official and just it's not right, and it just goes to show how much fear and how much pain and paranoia can be spread by just a few bullies or a few messed up people.
Yeah. And then I found this article from Australia about a student there who's killed himself after he had been bullied over and over again. And he was 14 years old and he killed himself because he was just so freaked out because he was the focus at his school of everybody's bullying. And, you know, it can really damage people to allow, to perpetuate, to allow this kind of, these attitudes to go on. And we got time for one quick call at 456-9991. Got anything to say about the anti-gay bullying? I mean, you know, I would think that in the schools around here, most of them anyway, if you come out as being gay in high school, you're probably going to...
be picked on quite a bit.
Be picked on quite a bit. And how could that be improved upon? You know, how could that be rectified or remedied or what have you? You can join the ward. But you know what? We're just about out of time. So you got a half a minute to give us a call. Otherwise, River and I are
done.
We're going to be done. And then get involved with your schools. That's one of the reasons we do Youth Speaks Out. We kind of want to bring out what's going on in the schools to the community at large. It's your school. It's a reflection of what you do and think or don't do and don't think has a lot to do with how the next generations, if they're raised the same way that we were, or if they have a chance of becoming a little bit more evolved, a little bit more humane,
yeah,
you know, or chivalrous, or,
yeah,
you know, whatever. All right.
Okay. That's all for this month's edition of View Speaks Out. Our hosts today have been me, River.
And Dan.
Thanks to all our callers. One of the purpose of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. View Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville Healthy Start Program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Woods, California, 95490, or through the website www.youspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of November, the 29th, at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the end of this month.